This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back all. Monica and I have just had a disagreement. I had the Bonneville parked up here ready, and it was filthy, but a bike gets filthy after every single ride in the winter. I can't wash a bike after every time, so Monica has just forced me to half-assed clean the Bonneville so it's clean and shut. So there you go. You can thank Monica for clean Bonneville. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to watch these weekly podcast episodes and getting in touch. It's completely thanks to all of you that I can make these on a weekly basis. And it's just so fun going through all of your comments, all of your emails, all your input. Cannot thank you enough. Best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@truesthatdobbs.com. Especially for the Australians, New Zealanders, Americans, Middle East, places like that, we're doing shipping twice a day for all of our Libertasia products, the t-shirts, the book, and the tool roll. So you still have time to get them in, and we'll do our very best to do speedy shipment and get them to you before Christmas, even if you're in Australia and the USA. We'll do our best, I promise you. Right, let's begin. I have to do just a bit more discussion because I love this topic, possibly more than any other. Used prices, bargains out there, biking's a glorious thing. Let's see what we've got. I'll start off. Used bike prices, they are so polarizing with what people think a bike is worth. And used bike prices also polarize people. I'll start with and action on YouTube. Freddie, with regards to last week, the price of the Kawasaki Z1300, it's ridiculous what you said. How can a new low-cost Royal Enfield or Chinese Beep affect the selling price of the Kawasaki Z1300? It is a totally different target customer. If you're in the market for a Z1B, a Honda CBX, a Benelli, say, look, for anyone under the age of 45, you probably won't know what these are. These are all the legends from the 70s and 80s, the huge kind of muscle bike type things. If you're in the market for one of these excellent old bikes, for example, you're not going to be looking at a Royal Enfield, a CF Moto, a Lex Moto, .. are you? There was then a heated discussion on this thread from last week, but I won't go into that. It was enjoyable reading. So let's have a look at this. Thank you so much for your input. I actually think, my opinion is, the likes of Royal Enfield are going to be swallowing up the customers looking at these massive old bikes, because the people who know what these massive old bikes are, like the Kawasaki Z1300 that Harry Metcalf sold at auction, they're going to be about 60 years old plus. And a lot of these riders now, they're not possibly as strong as they used to be, so they're going to be looking to downsize. Very few 60 plus year olds are going to be looking to upsize to a gigantic 1300cc Japanese heavyweight. Very, very few. So actually, I think the likes of CF Moto, and I know this because I speak to 60 plus year old bikers all the time, I know a lot of them would take a CF Moto or a Royal Enfield over a Kawasaki that maybe they would have considered. Lara says this, the generation that the old heavy classic four strokes like the Kawasaki Z1300 would be relevant to are getting too old to actually manhandle them, so their value will plummet going forward. The more modern, cheap, lighter Indian and Chinese bikes, here we go, appeal for the opposite reason. Manageable, attainable, and you're not going to have any headaches with them. You just jump on the bike. It's easy going. I tell you what I'm going to do now to try and prove my point here. This is what I love. Okay, take a look at this. That old Kawasaki Z1300. You're looking at between 8.5 and some people trying to sell up to £11,000 for this. 8.5 to £11,000 for a 45-year-old bike that's so ridiculously niche, unless you're over the age of 50, it will mean nothing to you, nothing at all. So the market is microscopically small, and it's going to be getting smaller and smaller all the time. So let's say people are trying to sell these Kawasaki Z1300s between 8.5 and £11,000. Take a look at what you can get for so much cheaper. I'm going to give a few examples here. You could pick up, if you want, let's start with the Royal Enfield. You can pick up a 5-year-old Royal Enfield for £2,889. This is £6,000 to £8,000 cheaper than that Kawasaki. I can hear what you're thinking. No, you want a big engine bike because that Kawasaki is a big beast. We'll take this Triumph Bonneville, one of the best motorcycles I've ever ridden in my life. 1200cc engine, phenomenal machine. You could have this Triumph Bonneville T120, 8 years old, not 45 years old. This will be better than the Kawasaki in every single way, and it's £5,500. So even this is £3,000 to £5,000 cheaper than the Kawasaki. And I'll do one more. I can hear what you're saying. You want four-pot Japanese, don't you? Fine, take this then. 12-year-old Honda CB1000, £5,000. That, again, I've never ridden it, but the fit and finish, the build quality, that is a phenomenal machine and will tick every box from the Kawasaki, but it will have more modern technology, it'll be more reliable, and it's £3,000 to £5,500 cheaper than the Kawasaki. My point is this, you would have to be so ridiculously hell-bent on wanting that massive old Kawasaki to forego these bikes, to decide, you know what, I won't take any of these bikes. I'm going to spend, in some cases, double the money to buy the Kawasaki Z1300. It's a really, really tough argument to want to get the Kawasaki over any of those, for example. Put in the comments what you think. Do you agree with me, or do you still see the value in the Kawasaki at £10,000? Because I think it's almost unjustifiable at that price. Of course, it's all personal opinion, but I cannot see an argument for it at 10 grand when you can see the unbelievable bikes you can get for that kind of money. Now let's go over, equally fascinating, to Portugal. This is from Jed. Portugal's obscene used vehicle prices. Freddie, in southern Portugal, secondhand bikes are at least 35 to 40% more expensive. Even worse than that, given that Portugal and the weather here and the roads are better, they've done at least 50% more miles. The value is far, far better in the UK. Ditto for cars, the same situation. I came back to the UK specifically to pick up a car which was 70% less than I've paid for it over here in the Algarve. The UK offers tremendous value. I'm going to demonstrate Jed's point here. And I'm going to do it in car terms. The reason I want to do it in car terms, cars cost more money. And this gives you an extreme example about how mind-blowingly ridiculous used vehicle prices are in the Algarve, Portugal. Take a look at this. I've done this for a reason, because BMW depreciation is eye-watering every single time. But look at this, BMW 6 Series, 2012 and 2013 model. I've been really specific here. I've got here in Portugal two of these BMWs, and they're both coming in at £27,150. That's UK. So if I take this one here, this has got 289,000 kilometers on the clock. That is, to put it into relative terms for the UK, 180,000 miles, yet the seller is asking £27,150. I'm going to keep that on screen there. Remember that. Now, in the UK, the exact same car, but with half the mileage, in equally as good, if not better condition, and the price, £7,750. This is totally ridiculous. You're saving £20,000 for a much better car, UK versus Portugal. Portuguese, let me know. How does it work? Is the only car people can genuinely afford out there a Hyundai i10 because the prices are so obscene? How can a BMW with intergalactic mileage on it still command that kind of ridiculous money? And it's not just for BMWs. I was checking Jeep Wranglers. Jeep Wranglers about my age are three times more expensive. I'm not joking. Two to three times more expensive in Portugal than they are the UK. Crazy. Okay. The old kings. Moving on, this is from Dan. Freddie, I wouldn't usually write in, but I love this. With all due respect, whenever anyone starts with all due respect, I know, like, here we go. With all due respect, your recent piece on the Honda Blackbird from your Suzuki Hayabusa video, it could have been written by the Daily Mail. Such slander against one of the greatest motorcycles ever made should be reported to the police. The Blackbird was a commercial success for Honda. The fact that Suzuki had to make such a fugly bike, translation, effing ugly, forego practicality and comfort, which are two things that I thought you looked for in a bike, just to go a little bit quicker than the Blackbird. Seems like they lost the design battle. I missed my Blackbird so much. Two up around the mountains of Europe, bulletproof, comfortable, and faster than I could ever go. I made the mistake of selling it to buy a KTM Super Duke, brackets, great engine, but reliability, let's not go there. This email is in jest. The Boost is a legendary bike, as was the Kawasaki Z12 and the ZZR 1400. Look, four legendary bikes, but the Blackbird has the refinement and the character about it that I loved and I miss. Try one, Freddie. It would take you across Europe in blistering speed, in comfort, and in style. Yeah, Dan, I know you're right. I just like pushing the limits with my review to try and get a reaction, but I know you're right, 100%. So let's take a look at this. Dan, I shall look into your claims more. These bikes, these hyper tourers, these hyper bikes, these obscenely massive quick machines, they are just about as undesirable in the used market as you can possibly get. I'm now going to give you some examples of this. Let's start with the Kawasaki ZZR 1200. This is, I promise you, a former king of the road. 2002 model, I think these have about 160 horsepower. So these were really close to the Honda Blackbird. You can pick up one, 2002 model, £1,800, reduced from £2,200, and it was listed 5 months ago. So even at 1.8K, £1,800, still no one has any interest in it. 36,000 miles, which is nothing. New MOT, excellent condition, very tidy, mostly standard. Cool looking bike, £1,800, and no one wants it. What's the real price of this then? £1,200? Because if it gets that low, Honda Transalps of the same year go for more money than this, one of the kings of the road. And you've got the simple little Transalp that commands more money. It shows that these are just completely out of favor. I'll do another one here and I shall do this one. Honda Super Blackbird. Here it is. This is the 1996 to 1998 King of the Road, the fastest production bike ever made. Listed 4 months ago, £1,100. This has got 1 year's MOT, annual check, no advisories, fantastic bike for the age. New tyres front and rear. Top box, look at the photos, not showroom as it's been ridden, but a good bike, cheap for a lot of fun. And it's £1,100 and it looks lovely. And it's the king of the road and it is much, much cheaper than incredibly basic bikes, far more basic bikes of that era. Yet even at £1,100, no one wants it. this, for me, this proves my point. Everyone forgot about the blackbird. And secondly, no one wants a blackbird. And that confirms it. Because this was listed August time. No one wants these big old bikes. Or people still haven't accepted the fact that, look, the prices are nowhere near where they thought they were. Nowhere near at all. And I'll do one more. Even the king of the road, the actual king of the road, the Hayabusa. Look, people are still advertising them at far more money. This is a lovely looking one here. £3,600, reduced from £3,800, 2000 model, listed 3 months ago. It's a beautiful one. And look at this. This bike is pre-gentleman's agreement model with 220 mile an hour clocks. This was before all of the motorbike companies decided, okay, right, let's limit the top speed to 186 miles an hour just to be safe, when actually the bikes could go way faster. So this is one of the original beasts. And still, look, it's advertised for more, but still no one wants it. So what does that mean? Well, it means there are massive bargains to be had, on a positive note. For us in the market, it's extremely exciting. If you own one of these, look, a lot of these owners are going to be really shocked, and they probably just need to understand the market is nowhere near where they think it is. You're going to be picking up a king of the road, in some cases under £1,000. They go for peanuts. Now on to Judge Dredd's bike. Freddie, while looking at the craze for maxi scooters, such as the T-Max, I was reminded of a Honda from back in the day that looked like Judge Dredd's bike. I had to look the model name up, and it's the Honda DN01. And I was amazed when I saw, on a review, it had a primitive DCT gearbox. They're rare, but I'm tempted to buy one rather than a Forza or something else. Mark, I've come across these once or twice. Very interesting machine, this. Take a look at this. MCN say, the Honda DN01. Hard to categorize. Is it a cruiser? Is it a scooter? Whatever it is, it's a very easy to ride, comfortable, capable, and enjoyable motorcycle. Let down, this is important, by a very high price and too much hype. If money's no object, all you want is an attention-grabbing commuter or Sunday cruiser, and you wonder why all bikes aren't automatic, then you won't be disappointed. MCN gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Nothing special at all there. And users rate it 3.6 out of 5. Nothing remotely special there either. So 270 kilos. I almost need to double check. That sounds absurd. 270 kilos. 51 horsepower, made from 2008 to 2010. That's how unpopular it was. And this is interesting. It was powered by a version of the Honda Deauville's 680cc V-twin lump. So this is a 700cc V-twin engine. And back in 2009, the cost was £9,321. For a bike that has a Deauville engine in it, to cost more than, at the time, a brand new Triumph Bonneville or Harley Davidson Sportster. That is an almost ludicrous ask for people to fork out that much money for a bike. Look, with a Deauville engine, the market is so small for this type of stuff. So, look, why wouldn't someone buy it, I hear you ask? Well, no one did buy it, quite clearly. There are very few available of this bike. I think I counted 4 when I was looking. But I found the cheapest in the country from a private seller. And this is actually the best looking example I found. I really like it in this red. Again, listed 3 months ago. You know, if you overprice your bikes, they don't sell. £4,000, reduced from £4,250. I like this though. Block Capitals, want to stand out at a bike meet? Well, here's your chance. For sale, I've got my Honda DN01 in rare red color scheme. Fully automatic and can be changed so you can select the gears by paddle change from the handlebars. Superb and comfortable machine. I mean, it's a fantastically interesting bit of tech. God, it was ahead of its time. I quite like the looks. I like the quirkiness as well. £4,000 if you want something quite different, and it looks like you're going to be able to push these down because these are going to be as slow a seller as you could possibly imagine. Who would go into to Facebook Marketplace or eBay and think, you know what I want? Honda DN01. Well, clearly some people do. So there you go. Left field choice. And Mark, thank you so much for that. Let me know if you get it. I would be fascinated to hear your thoughts on it. I do like quirky bikes like that. Now, bike of the week. Prepare yourselves for this. This is a bike that I've done a few times before as bike of the week. It's a bike that I rate really highly, but the values now, I would say they're unmissable. You cannot ignore values like this. This is the title I've done for the bike of the week. The best value used bike on the market. I truly believe it is. This is from Hello Moto S2P. The problem that Indian and Harley-Davidson have when making bikes, like the Indian FTR, is that other brands like Triumph, they just do it way better for cheaper. They also have a massive used market that already exists where the bikes are really cheap. What do people want from Indian and Harley-Davidson? They want pushrod engines and tradition. They do not want overhead cams and electric. Just look at the poor sales of the Livewire and the Pan America, which, by the way, the Pan America used is a bargain compared to the BMW GS of the same year and the same mileage. At £7,000, you can get 150 horsepower adventure bike in the Pan America. And I think this has the potential to be the best value road bike ever, especially if you get the standard version, if you don't care about a few of the off-road extras, for example. I strongly agree. Bike of the week, thanks to you. Thank you so much. Let's take a look at this bike that I've ridden. I think this is a superb bike, the Pan America. I really rate this highly. I had an unforgettable couple of days riding around Tenerife on this. Launched in 2021, 1200cc V-twin engine, 150 horsepower, 258 kilos. Brand new today, £7,295, which I actually think is quite fair value. Do you know the interesting thing about these? The past two or three times I've been to Wars Harley-Davidson in London, do you know how many Pan Americas they've had on display there? Zero. Not one. Past two or three times. It's like the Pan America now has just been banished to the history books, really. I remember when they came out, there's a huge amount of buzz around these Pan Americas. People saying, look, these are actually quite good bikes. And it's just completely fizzled out of nowhere. I thought these would get some kind of foothold in the market. I did. I thought it's a good enough bike for that. No, the interest in Pan Americas now has gone from being decent enough. Maybe the Americans buy them. But I tell you what, no one else is buying them anymore. And what does that mean? It means that values are crazy. In fact, I'll go further than that. I would say it means that values are actually fair in biking. So too many times you overprice our bikes. I'll tell you something that's not getting overpriced. Pan Americans. There's just no interest in these. So let's take a look at what we can find. And it's not difficult at all. I'm going to give you here the bike of the week. But don't think this is the exception to the rule. It is so easy to find bikes now. Get ready for it. At £6,500. A Pan America for £6,500 from a dealer with full Harley-Davidson service history, two owners from new, and 15,000 miles on the clock. £6,500. That, for me, is the best value bike on the used market, full stop. There is nothing that's this good at what it does, this new. Warranty because it's from a dealer at that price. That is a staggeringly good deal. And Americans, I'd be fascinated to hear from you. Has the interest completely imploded on Pan Americas? Because here in Europe, certainly in the UK, that's it. From a used proposition, it's just dried up. And it shows in the residuals, the lack of interest in these. But I rate them so highly. I love them. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed it. Have a great week all. I'll see you in the next one.